2nd of March, 2018, Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
This is the Real KNC. Since our Monday episode, we've had double shot of Tangway, double shot of Mutt, and one return to the casting couch of Jerry Callahan.
Yes, very exciting.
What's up, boys?
I thought he was a little hard on you early on, you know.
It could have been a good story, is my point, but you suck.
What's wrong with you?
Jealous that I've been stealing a little more of the airtime around here. He's feeling threatened. That's fine.
If you look at J.D. Martinez's numbers, right? Ken Laird, right. Just normal baseball guy.
Right.
You don't see that spike and think, boy, that's unusual. I wonder if there's something going on. Like, there's no part of your brain that thinks that way?
Well, I believe, sincerely, he changed the swing.
I thought this week was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I thought Tangway, you know, as with everything with Gary, there's an ebb and a flow.
Mostly an ebb, actually.
No comment.
I don't know. There's something about Gary. He doesn't read anything. He doesn't pay attention to anything. He says dumb things, but when it's Gary and Kirk, there's really a chemistry that is hard to ignore.
Come on, let's go. Let's go. Oof, that poor sweater. In the workout like you wouldn't believe.
It's day two.
Yeah, I don't even know if there was like a standout moment to pick. The first hour Wednesday with Kirk and Tango was my favorite hour of the week. It was just those two kind of off the cuff, and you just know good radio and compelling radio when you hear it. Sometimes it's tough to define.
Well, right. Well, that hour was basically...
Mutt could define it. If we had Mutt in here, he would nail it.
Opulence.
No idea what that word means.
Okay.
None.
Obtuse.
Obtuse, that's not obscure, but it's, you're being obtuse, you're being, obtuse, that's not obscure, but it's, you're being obtuse, you're being.
Yeah, that's a good definition. Yep. Any other ones? I think when you use the word Redemption. Itself, it's good, yeah.
Cavalier.
Being sort of brazen.
Brazen. Nope.
Brazen.
Cavalier. Webster's Mutnansky, we got that hour of Wednesday was, if I recall, about Gary discussing why he had been so bad lately on TV and radio.
Like this week at NBC Sports Boston, not that you would have known, I have been terrible on TV.
I know that.
Yeah, his weight and...
The casting coach is getting mighty thin, okay?
Yes, it is. Ironically, it's getting thin as I look at you and the casting coach
why
is
do you
thinning
make fun
out.
Of my... I'm not fat.
It was just all over the place. It was about nothing. And
correct.
It was entertaining, and it really had a pace to it.
Yeah, I mean, we had some bad hit the post at the end. That was a disaster yet again. Partly my fault.
Can we get Paul
in here? Paul in here. Ken's going to midday.
I can't find the Eagles catalog anywhere.
So I missed the initial Gary hitting the post. That was the summer before I returned.
Oh.
He was feeling stifled by his bandmates in Chicago. He needed to spread his wings. He needed to go out on his own. Number one with the bullets, Peter Cetera. Glory of Love.
Oh, Jesus!
Three for three, baby!
Wow!
Wow!
I remember listening to it, and it was spectacular.
Oh. Hey, everybody, it's Gary Tangway checking in with you.
Joey,
sunny at 80 for the week. Sunny at 80 for the weekend. It's going to be a beautiful day. Get out and enjoy it with Joey Scarberry.
Yes! Yes!
Yes, baby! Yes!
Gary was nailing it. Everyone was laughing. He was on fire. Now we've done it a couple times since.
93.7 WEEI-FM playing classic hits, kicking off 10 in a row. It's the Eagles and Witchy Woman.
Nope.
No, it doesn't count.
No, it's still going.
Well, okay. Oh, no. Well, yeah, I hit the first post.
But that's the thing. We've just done it before. It's not fresh and organic anymore.
But even if it wasn't fresh and organic, why can't he do it?
Oh, here we go. Easy listening, light rock, 93.7 WEEI-FM, and the Eagles starting 10 in a row. We'll take it right up onto the 10 o'clock hour.
Nope. It's not that long. It's not that long.
This week was not his fault, really.
Really?
We've now gone off soft rock and just into specific requests.
Okay.
I think that's harder for him. I don't know. You're right. He failed a couple of times.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just... So was the first one just lucky?
Good question. He sort of changed. That was before he walked out. And I don't know. Maybe he's like something changed.
Also, the first one, he still had a drive to really get onto the staff.
I think
Dino
so.
Hadn't really left yet. He was still...
It was a much... Remember, he was talking about salary and he was negotiating back then. And it sounded like he wanted to do it.
So now he's just giving up on everything. His diet, his life, his job.
I think he's just kind of punching the clock.
Yeah.
He had a good week and he's committed to more days next week.
Well, I'm thinking that this is probably a money grab by Tang right now.
Could
he's
be.
Just working to get cash because he's got a $3 million home that he owes $5 million on.
Where's my damn money?
Well, a lot of changes around here, that's for sure. This was a week of change.
Tell you about the changes, as David Bowie sang.
Yes.
Michael Hawley's departure.
I want to thank Kirk Minahan.
We talked about that a great deal on Thursday with Mutt and Kirk.
I give Hawley, seriously, a solid A.
You have to.
I think they were fair to both Keith and Dale, wouldn't you say, in their reaction?
I'd give Dale like a C plus B minus. I'd give Keith like a D.
Michael, I think there's really nothing else to be said about Michael's. I thought it was great. You know, obviously heartfelt. But man, Rich.
So that's Rich's turn.
I would just say, I mean, I remember I was in college, not to make you guys feel old. I was in college the first time I heard you guys together, and it became part of my routine. You know, getting out of college, anytime I was in the car around lunchtime, I would listen to Dale and Hawley. And I remember reading your books. I remember seeing you on TV. Never did I think I was going to spend more than a year working with you. And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun. love coming to work every day. Like, that's a great thing. And we've become friends, which, again, I would not have imagined that being the case. So, going to miss you. But like Dale said, you're not going to be far. Still going to be able to get a hold of you, bug you about NBA stuff.
He's going
to
live on the moon?
You got more emotional than Dale did.
I think you've also... made
I always feel bad. Rich is a nice
person,
guy.
And not even just being sad.
But what is he? What's going on? Is he all right?
He said, I think he told me when he gets sad, he gets choked up. And so he was sad that Michael Hawley was leaving. I think I accused him of crying. He said he didn't cry. I think that was.
Those are tears.
That is a man.
I might know he's not
right
articulate anyway, but like that is like, that's like tears like in your, you know.
He's choking up. Yeah.
Like normally he's like.
That frog in your throat.
But here he's like.
I actually think the guys were pretty easy on Rich this week. I mean,
well, OMF killed him. I mean, that we were pleasant.
Other shows destroyed him.
Right.
Have a little respect for yourself.
Dale's sad, but he's happy.
Michael will not be sitting in this chair every day, and that makes me sad. I'm really happy for my friend.
But, well, yeah, the two ends of the spectrum, right? I do think Keith was legitimately lost in a moment, whatever that moment was.
Yeah.
There was no tears in my eyes.
Dale on the other end, who's right here hanging out with us today.
Yeah, you guys were chatting up before
I actually
we
spoke
in
with Dale for 2 minutes. It was a record.
And 11
Chris
years.
Curtis. Talking the Seaport and Southie. And
Seaport, Southie, and seats that I stole. Anyway, then you had the scripted Dale, which was...
For some reason, Michael and I hit it off almost from day one. We were truly brothers from another mother, and it has been that way since the day 13 years ago when we first started working.
Ma, why are you covering your arm?
It will
like
be that way
like
today.
You're not laughing.
What? You okay?
It will
Ma?
Be that
I'm
way
okay
tomorrow and the next day and the day after that.
It felt very formulaic, Dale. I don't feel like that's really what Dale thought about the situation.
Kirk mentioned this. He had Hawley a couple months ago on air before Christmas, sort of fighting for Dale to keep his job.
If it were up to me, if I'm running the station, Dale, lifetime contract. I'm serious.
Dale signs a new contract.
Right. I feel like, yeah, I wanted some of that. Like, Dale's pissed that they couldn't get this done or whatever.
Now, you know, whatever it is, not even 2 months later, Dale's without Hawley again. And so I'm sure there was some frustration there.
Dale, calm down, okay?
And it sounds like they didn't find out. I mean, we didn't find out until 5:06 on Wednesday.
Well, that's, you know, being in management gets its perks.
But, you know, you had Hawley... You know, I don't think told them that much along the way, you know, that this was going on. So maybe Dale felt that had he known earlier, he could have helped things. Michael told, we never got to this today. Michael told the great media critic.
Don't even want me in with Curtis.
That he had known before the sensitivity training that he was out.
Yeah, sort of read that he knew it internally, but didn't say it to anybody else. But he had come to a decision in his mind. We wish him luck.
Laird, and who put him on the radio, by the way?
Good luck. He'll be... over with our friends at the network that cannot be named.
Maybe he'll be hanging with Trenny next time she goes to Thailand.
Could be. Yeah, we had a lot of Trenny talk this week.
Covering this great match. So tell us, this is really exciting. What's going on?
It's very exciting. So the U.S. men's curling team is in the gold medal game for the first time in history. And we are here for it. And
there's three of them.
Kelly,
they get bigger, too.
She'll be back next week. For a Trenny and Tomasi spot a week from tomorrow, right?
A week from tomorrow, she returns to WEEI. I'm not sure when she gets back onto mainland America.
You can actually hear the gunfire in the background. It's crazy.
If only, going back to Michael Hawley, Michael and Entercom had Mutt there to negotiate
oh
between
my
the two
God
parties.
That was
you are not going to do it unless you get a raise.
Yeah, there would have to be a financial aspect to it, Jerry.
So
you don't
if
think
they
so?
Don't give you a raise, what will you do? Say, I'm not coming in?
If they say you take this job or that job, or you quit with no raise, or you're gone, you just quit.
I probably wouldn't quit. I have a family to support.
So then where's your leverage then?
My leverage is really well what I do for the radio station.
He would have gotten a 10-year, $250 million extension.
My leverage is nobody does more for the radio station than me.
That's not
my leverage.
That's not leverage,
dummy.
I don't know if that's the takeaway of the week, but today's show with Jerry back was good. I thought it was a pretty good show.
Yes.
And that's just, you know, just off the cuff. We really had nothing going at 8 and somehow dug a mutt negotiation segment out of it.
Oh, my God.
You're asking me what my leverage is.
Okay.
My leverage is a lot for the radio station.
Oh, stop.
If you're going to move me to a different...
That is not leverage.
My leverage is...
Boris, I laugh so much when Mutt's in. I love him. I genuinely, he makes me laugh. He's funny. He's self-deprecating. We have a similar intellect. And
we get Steve in Providence every time he calls. Every
right,
time he's
Steve
in.
Weighs in.
What's up, Steve?
Next card.
I wanted to congratulate Mutt not only on having a very successful run in the morning show, but also for being the world's greatest stepfather. you know, I can't understand how he didn't take the hint when Bennett would always constantly say, when are you going to quit gambling and betting all your money like a drunken sailor? You know, like, where would he get that from? You know, it just rolls off the tongue a little too easy, or kind of when Carter would say, I'm as hungry as a POW. You know, it just doesn't make much sense. But, I mean, in all honesty...
Yeah, keep going through the script, Stevie.
We had Captain Hungwell make an appearance.
Yeah, Captain Hungwell was excellent. I'm not sure that much of that call got through.
Special guest is on the line. Hey, special guest.
Hey, this is Captain Dorian Hungwell, U.S. Navy. Talking to serving people.
Hey, Captain.
Hello, Captain Hungwell. How are you?
Listen, I've been hearing a lot of talk. I wanted to call in and say, you're a lucky man, Michael Bonansky. Jeff was a ridiculously flexible woman with an inexhaustible thirst for lovemaking. I mean,
Jesus.
The sweet, pungent scent of papaya, nectarine, and fresh-cut grass. Oh, man. Well, she was something else, but she had a dark side. She had a fascination, an obsession that roared from She watched Planet of the Apes, guys, as if it were porn.
That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right, Kevin. I'm a special guest.
You think she's like Diane Fossey, the woman who took care of the apes and died?
You know, it's true, but that was... you understand, Kirk? I'm a 6'3", totally hairless man.
Oh, I see.
The only void I couldn't fill in Jess was her...
Come on.
Probably not unreasonable.
Come on.
In all honesty, Michael, I miss Jess. I really do.
When was the last time you saw Jess, Captain Hungwell?
She called me a while back. Several years back, she called me. She said that her
off script.
Her lover was a good man, but he didn't have a viable seed. I knew what she wanted. I fired him. Mike.
Captain. Yes, Captain. This seems inappropriate, Captain.
I had a nickname for Jess. It was I called her my little submarine.
Okay, that's fine. It could have been worse.
She functioned best when she was...
Okay. All right, thanks, Captain. I don't think you can say that.
But yeah, the negotiation with Mutt was a truly spectacular thing to witness from behind the glass.
I like the guys. I've helped out quite a bit over the last year, and I think that... Yeah, that's where I get stuck.
Mentioned.
I'm a survivor, like Jerry Callahan, and I have a family to feed at home. Colin Birch and some of the good folks of the Red Sox, I think I do a very good job. Let's put that on the books now.
In the books?
Let's put that meeting on the books right now.
Define leverage. Honestly, give me a definition of the word leverage.
I honestly don't know.
No, what's the definition? Seriously.
I don't know.
Seriously, define leverage. Seriously. Define it.
I picture.
Leverage, you picture it. You just can't.
I can't say the exact definition of it.
You and I, famed negotiators,
yes,
went into the boss's office, the big boss.
In tandem, you and I. They tried to separate us.
Multiple times they tried to split us up. Yeah. We are a team.
There's no I in team.
Right.
And we went in there and we got $16.85.
And about 80 further tasks a week.
And 200 hours extra of work.
Well, shrewd negotiator.
And I love it.
But you could define what the word meant.
I could.
And by the way, I give you and Mike great credit. You had to spell off sort of a...
We had to come up with words to define. And I'm sitting there going, timetable, because it was...
Well, why don't you guys, for a minute or two, ask each other to define words. Go ahead. The first one to, you know, let's see. Go ahead. You go first, Chris.
Define magnanimous.
Someone who is grateful, is thankful. anywhere in the ballpark.
I mean, that's
sort of. It's not the dumbest answer.
I'll dig now. I think I'll allow that. I'll take that. Yes, that's a yes. Go ahead, Mutt.
Trying to think of a word he wouldn't know. He's a pretty smart guy.
I think so, yes. The problem is Muck can't think of any words, so he's now trying to kill time.
Vamping.
I mean, yes.
Defied the word furlong.
It's the length of something in a horse race.
How long is a furlong?
No, I give
nobody
that.
Knows
I
that.
I right, one to
should
one.
Know that.
Go ahead. I'll see. Go ahead, Chris. One more each.
See, now we both can't think of words.
How dumb they both are. Can't think of words. Go ahead. Some empty
opulent.
Head.
Okay. You already said opulence.
I did.
And you didn't answer. I don't know what that means.
I literally said that word. I have no idea what that means.
And you didn't know it.
But why can't you think of a word? You only think of one word to ask him to define?
Okay, timetable. It's in front of me.
Jesus, forget it.
That was really watching two masters at work.
I was so lost. I'm looking at it. We're lost in each other's brains of emptiness.
Nobody works harder, and nobody cares the most.
And groped her lady part.
Yes.
Today's post-show meeting was actually longer. I find that when our fearless program director is on remote or on assignment, Jerry and Kirk decided to spend a little more time in the office today, which was nice. We all sort of caught up for about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We don't like to linger. We discussed Britt McHenry a little bit.
Yes.
Back there. She had the appearance Tuesday.
All right, Britt. Well, enjoy the rest of your vacation down in Mexico. If you're ever in Boston, come on with me and Jerry. We welcome on anytime. Anytime.
This was fun. I was nervous.
How would you grade Britt's performance there?
Overall, I give it an A because I feel like she'll be back. She seems like she's in on the joke. She gets the show. For someone who really wasn't a part of it, I know she was nervous. I probably had a 30 or 40 line back and forth with her on Twitter the day before she joined us, just because she was worried about certain people surprising and joining the show, or what are the questions going to be. And I said, you know, relax, it'll be professional.
I don't know what professionalism is anymore.
Even
she
that
was
morning,
concerned about our reputation, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Yeah, Kirk and Callahan, they're very controversial.
Not a fair reputation, but it's one we...
It is not, and I think she was very, very, very happy afterwards. She sent me a direct message saying, you know, I loved it, and, you know, she missed Jerry.
She thought Gary was Jerry.
Right, at first. Then people on Twitter corrected her, and she sent a DM saying, oh, next time I got to meet Jerry, and I told Jerry, and he got naked and started running around the office.
I saw her in the hallway. The whole hallway lights up as you're walking, and you're smiling.
Jerry was a big fan of Tangway's question about Mark Cuban in that interview.
Okay, there was a big story regarding the Dallas Mavericks and Cuban, who we don't believe. I think he's a liar when it comes to his president, who was guilty of sexual harassment. And also they had an employee on working for them that had physically abused a woman, not once but twice. So I think in the world of sports, the hashtag MeToo thing is about to explode.
That was one of the great Tangway questions. He's like a TV guy who loves to hear himself talk. In the question.
Tangway's next good question will be his first in an interview. He has to bring the question back to him. Like, even she says, I was not sexually assaulted or harassed or whatever. Oh, no, you were.
I am shocked you were never sexually harassed at that place. Shocked.
It's like, okay. What do you mean?
So, there's a possibility we could have Britt for a show, Casting Couch Performance.
The goal is to have Britt in studio before baseball season. Sooner the better. I reached out to her today. I'm going to pass it up the chain to make sure we get the proper people in contact to get the book, the rooms, and the hotel and all that stuff.
Okay, but for next week, we're looking at two Tangways and two Mutts again. So we're kind of limping to the finish on
this. Well, I don't know. It's sort of a half a Mutt because Mutt is going to be on the afternoon.
Right.
Monday and Tuesday.
Well, that's gold for us.
So thank you, Joe.
Mutt's performances will be graded.
Absolutely no win situation. Literally nothing Mutt can
do. Well, not true. I mean, the guys were very proud of Reamer in his first hour when he sat in with Dale and those guys.
Right.
And they ripped him for the next 3 hours where he talked sports.
Right. But say Mutt sits down and goes all Reamer and goes nuts. Then Dale hates him even more, and he gets mocked by them for trying to be the Kirk, and then he's got to spend...
Yeah, but he and Keefe are kind of buddies, so it's not like it's a total enemy space for him. I don't think Keefe would bury him.
I think there is, outside of, you know, absolutely going nuts, which is just not in Mutt's nature.
Sometimes he's upset about color schemes, color rush uniforms.
Turquoise!
Yes, he is. But, no, I would say I would... Expect there to be a lot of critique of Mutt on Tuesday and Wednesday's show on Kirk and Callahan.
Monday, we sort of revisited Fort Myers in the week, and it was an odd state. I feel a lot better Friday sitting here now than we did on Monday.
Absolutely. I think, you know...
Stabilized a bit.
It was good to have Jerry back today to close out the week. He sounded better. Next
it's
week,
just going to be piecing the schedule together, which for you is now a nightmare with nights and weekends and everything else, too.
Yeah, it's a real
part
pain
of the
in
great,
the ass.
Negotiating.
Yeah, we're superb negotiators. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I got to figure out next week, go from there. But I'm happy with the morning show schedule. But Monday morning at 6 o'clock, you'll be hearing Gary Tangway, Kirk Minahan, and Jerry Callahan react to a wild night at the Oscars.
Good luck to your Seaport. Do the best you can.
I will.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
It is currently Jesus, Mary. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Good weekend.